Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Sam Amick of The Athletic will join us in just a moment. Stick around for that. We'll talk some NBA with him. Thank you guys for sending me all these suggestions for the DMV and this real ID thing. Sam Amick of The Athletic. Support journalism. Support The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic. Sam, you live in California. Do you have one of these real IDs yet?
I don't, George. I have, let's see, we're T-minus 8 months until my old birthday is coming up, and I got a deadline looming, but
Yeah, I was saying because I had booked one back in October and ended up being in March, but now I do this radio show at this particular time slot, so that ruined that. And I was on there for an hour trying to get stuff, and I got one for today. Because all it was giving me was kicking me back to May. I got one for today. Maybe someone canceled. Not that close to my house, but I'll deal with it. But like this thing, it's just ridiculous. Like if you're the state of California, you got to make this a little easier, man. Like I got to make this. This is too difficult. And going to the DMV is already a pain in the ass.
I hear you, man. I hear you, Georgia. I love the fact that you're just going to lean into using your show to air these citizen grievances. That's good.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it, right? Like, I'm not blaming the people there. I'm blaming the system, Sam. That's what I'm blaming. All right, let's talk.
No complaints.
Let's talk about some of this stuff. Have you heard this Giannis sound that everyone is talking about today?
No, in fact, full disclosure, I saw your tweet from the show promoting that topic, and I was sitting here trying to Google it to figure out what I was missing.
All right, so I'm going to play you the audio. So he did an interview with someone from an entity called the Sports Pulse. Is that accurate? Yes. So it was at All-Star Weekend. You know how this thing goes, right? Like, it's Giannis is sitting down with someone. He's doing a hit for JBL, the audio company. And this young lady asks him a question about teaming up with his brothers. And then this is the answer he gives. So I know I'm putting you on the spot, but we don't have to talk specifics, but I'm just curious to your reaction. So here it is.
You got one brother with you in Milwaukee, another in L.A. Have you ever thought about what it'd be like having everyone together?
I think that would be amazing. Obviously, we spend more time together, and I'm 100% sure my mom would love that. But if we could like team up in a team in Milwaukee, L.A., whatever, that'd be awesome.
So, you know, here everyone is freaking out now because he's saying that, and I'm sure everyone in Milwaukee is like screaming bloody murder at the moment. Like, my guess is if I'm Milwaukee, like, you can't be happy about that, right?
No, not at all. I mean, especially because he chose to hypothetically throw out Milwaukee and L.A. I mean, that's the problem, right? It's one thing if you stick to the general idea that I would love to play with my brothers because our family would get more time together. Nobody can really argue with that. Like I said, I had not heard the audio. The L.A. component is what jumps off the page to me, because you know you have a brother out there, you know that particular organization would just absolutely love to get its hands on you. You've even got some history with people underneath that, you know, in Lakerland with Jason Kidd, obviously being on Frank Vogel's staff, former Bucks coach and the guy who helped Giannis find his way within the NBA. So I mean, it's seemingly harmless because, like you said, All-Star Weekend comes with a million interviews and you're going to say something that moves the needle, but he has done a pretty incredible job to this point of not getting kind of off script like that. But that's interesting.
What is your guess at which teams are actually trying to gear up for him, right? Like, we've heard the Warriors. The Heat don't make it any, you know, they don't make any bones about it. It seems like that they're trying to ramp up to try to get him in 21. Like, outside, and the Lakers obviously have the ability and would have the space. Like, who are some of the teams that you think they have their eyes set on him, per se?
Yeah, I mean, the ones you mentioned, it's hard because there's so many moving parts. I mean, it seems like a complete, a road not worth going down to even talk about the Clippers, right? But then you look at it, and we kind of forget that Kawhi and Paul are only under contract through next season. So who knows if we were shocked and one of those guys walked, if that was another way for him to get to L.A. He would have zero basketball incentive at this point to go join the Bulls, who obviously are in the same region. But I heard an interesting scenario a while back about, you know, what if the Bulls went and hired Jason Kidd, and would that put a little bit of a scare into the Bucks? But that's, you know, so many steps ahead because their roster is just, it doesn't compliment a guy of his talents. That's the thing that the Bucks can, you know, hang on to right now, obviously, that makes them sleep at night, is how dominant the Bucks are, and there's just nobody else out there. The Laker thing, though, I mean, the Lakers scare everybody all the time, even during their most dysfunctional years, and certainly now that they're formidable again, I think that's the one that that would concern me, especially in light of that comment.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us here. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. They do great work, and you should support journalism. So let's talk about his current team. What do you make of them as a prohibitive playoff favorite? Like, do you believe that they are that, or do you believe that there are teams in the East that can beat them?
Well, I mean, can is a tricky word because, of course, there are teams that can beat them. You know what I mean? I mean, Toronto and what they've done is incredible. Philly, even with the, you know, underperforming that they've done at their best, I could see that being a good matchup again. Boston all the way down the line. But I do believe in them 100% as the favorite right now. I have them over the Lakers. I have them over the Clippers. And I'm a sucker for, you know, good old-fashioned facts and historical context. And if you dive in and study the numbers on how dominant they've been, then, you know, you're making a conscious choice to ignore that if you don't think they're the favorites. Now, the qualifier there, and a shameless Athletic plug, my colleague John Hollinger wrote what I thought was a really interesting piece today, analyzing the question of the Bucks as the favorites. And the one nuanced point that John made that really landed with me is that before this three-point era, there was a lot of data and information that showed you that if a team like these Bucks were this dominant, that it was almost a foregone conclusion that they were going to win the title based on history. When teams were this dominant, they would, you know, most of the time finish the job. The way the game is played right now seems to have impacted that as a high probability. You've had a pretty fair amount of teams within the past 20 years, 15 years, that were extremely dominant and that didn't get the job done in the playoffs. So they can't rest on the laurels of the regular season and who they are right now, but I do think that we are still overlooking how good they are.
Here's what scares me, Sam, is last season, and I know not everybody can replicate what Toronto did, right? But there are some teams that could potentially try their best or come close to it. But the other part of it is this. His offensive game has some holes in it still. He's still young and an ascending player, which is crazy to think because he's already an MVP. And Budenholzer, for as great as he is, can be a bit stubborn. I mean, he's the guy that last season in the playoffs talked about not needing to make adjustments, right? Like, that's in the Mike D'Antoni school or playbook of comments in the postseason. And those are the right things that kind of scare me a little bit when I think of them. How do you feel about it?
No, I agree, and those are all legit. I just have a really hard time thinking that given what happened last year in the playoffs and how embarrassing it was for them to have the unofficial sweep after they were up 2-0 against Toronto, I think, you know, you have to have learned from that. And so I'm dying to see Coach Budenholzer and how he has evolved in these playoffs because of that. I'm dying to see, you know, Chris Middleton taking advantage of these moments in ways that he did not last year. And Giannis, again, you know, finding ways to get around, you know, the idea that he is the superhero on their squad. And if they, you know, get any kryptonite out there at all, they go down. And he's got to know that even more so in these playoffs than he did last year. So those concerns are 100% legit. But, you know, if this goes the way that they want it to go and that they think it should, you know, and maybe will go, they've learned from those. And then you implement the fixes this year, but we'll have to wait and see.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. So let's move on to the Lakers. Are you surprised they haven't made they didn't make any significant moves at the trade deadline or haven't done anything with the buyout market?
Not in the trade deadline. You know, I always thought that it was going to be a Kyle Kuzma trade, if anything. And then, you know, Rob Pelinka, their GM, has not spoken on this, but I just feel like from a human standpoint, it's probably safe to assume that there was a little bit of a sense in his mind and his heart that, like, unless it was really a compelling trade for Kuzma that made them better, that given the recent event in the wake of, you know, the awful helicopter, like, it just felt somewhat expected and natural that they wouldn't make moves at the deadline. Now, the buyout market is a different thing. You know, they've not been able to hit like some of these other squads. The Bucks go out and get Marvin Williams. You know, you're seeing guys land here and there, and the Lakers need help. So that part I am surprised by because the attraction of joining their squad should be there, given how good they look, given the chemistry and the love affair of that locker room and just kind of the actual experience those guys are having. You would think that every guy on the buyout market would be, you know, flocking their way. You know, Mo Harkless is a name that I had heard that they were interested in and monitoring and still have an eye on. But yeah, I mean, they obviously need another piece. We'll see what happens.
What do you think is their biggest weakness, I guess, at the moment, for lack of a better term?
It's just how they fall off a cliff when LeBron hits the floor. I mean, or, you know, heads off the floor. You can't go out and get another LeBron, but that's where I think Darren Collison would have helped them, another playmaker, you know, before he decided to stay retired. Somebody to effectively run the offense, and because, you know, it's great for LeBron's MVP campaign that the Lakers' net rating goes from, you know, it's about an 11-point swing when he's on and off the floor, I believe, if not even more. It's pretty drastic, and it makes him look great. But in the playoffs, you're then talking about the reality that because of that, you're going to want to play a 36-year-old who's had just an incredible amount of mileage on his wheels, big, big minutes in the playoffs all the way through. That's a pretty tedious formula, and they just need somebody. You know, Rondo hasn't been able to fill that role. They've got to get somebody in that second unit where they could just be more effective when he's not playing.
Sam Amick of The Athletic. Do you believe Collison is done now, like that this is it, like he won't come back, or do you think that there's a chance that maybe next season he's available again?
Truthfully, George, I don't have great insight on that one. I don't have a beat on his mentality. I thought it was a little odd the way this whole thing came together, a little bit of like, and I'm not saying this was by design at all, but in the end, what it amounted to was a kind of a big tease, and
right,
Aaron's coming back, and it's Lakers, Clippers, and he sits with Jeannie Buss at the Lakers game, and then lo and behold, just decided, you know, that he's going to stay retired. It's a little odd. I mean, you know, he's been through some stuff, obviously, personally, last couple of years, you know, and at the time of retiring, he said that it was essentially a spiritual family choice, and that's certainly his right, but I don't have clarity on what compelled him to stay retired and how long, you know, he might stay there if it, you know, might not be forever.
Can the Lakers beat the Clippers in your estimation?
Yeah, they can. They can. I mean, AD and LeBron, for me, are the best duo in the league right now. And, you know, Kawhi and Paul George are still finding their way together. They've had a handful of games where they looked like they could be cohesive and have that synergy and be right there, if not above, the duo like LeBron and AD. And I know it's not a two-on-two game here within mm-hmm. the association, but that is a hell of a foundation for me, combined with, you know, a bunch of role players for them that I love, the way that they've fit, especially after the Lakers had such a terrible summer two summers ago where they didn't get any complimentary pieces. And now they have those. So I think they can. The Clippers, you know, I'm dying to see what their ethos is and what their makeup and their competitive collective spirit is in the playoffs, because I still have questions about that. We obviously reported extensively on some of the growing pains of their locker room a few months ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't think that stuff has entirely disappeared. I think that it is something that could reveal itself in the playoffs, or they could, you know, give us the bird and kind of show the world that they got this thing figured out. But I think they still have questions.
Sam Amick of The Athletic with us here. Last one for you then. Do you believe, because you mentioned Paul and Kawhi, do you believe that they're kind of running out of some time? Like, do you buy into they need more time to mesh or actual time to mesh? They've only played like 570-something minutes together this season.
No, I mean, the takeaway of Kawhi and what he did last playoffs and the ability to have like the plug-and-play approach with the Raptors, like I'm going to lean back on that and say that a different version of that is possible with the Clippers. And even if you have limited sample size, I'm not going to sit here and say they can't win the whole thing unless, you know, Paul and Kawhi get another 300, 400, 500 minutes together before the end of the season. Because, I mean, for one, I mean, Kawhi and the Raptors deserved a ton of credit for what they did, but there was an element of chance that happened all the way through the postseason. But Kawhi was himself, and Kawhi was an incredible player within the context of that Raptors system, where in the regular season, people forget it wasn't great all the time. They almost had like two identities. When he wasn't playing, they were one team. When he was, they were another. And it was a little herky-jerky for them, too, but they got it done in the playoffs. So I think the Clippers, you know, especially with the Marcus Morris addition and the way that they've looked for the most part lately, you know, they can do it. I don't subscribe to the idea that they've got to have a ton of time together.
Sam Amick of The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Support journalism. They do great work there, like Sam as well. They're NBA insider. Sam, you're the best, brother. Thanks for taking time for us. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, George. Be good, man.
You got it. You too. There he is. All right. A lot to react off of that, particularly his thoughts on the Lakers being able to beat the Clippers. The Clippers' locker room dynamic still a potential issue. We'll get to some of that on the other side. Open up the phones for you at 877-710-ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Chris Morales was in the building today. I mean, we've been graced by his presence. I mean, who knew? He's in a suit. He's got a handkerchief in his, you know, in his little pocket there, a little pocket square. He's got a collar that matches his pocket square. Different color from the shirt. I mean, good Lord.
I mean, if anybody is dressed nicely, it's always Chris Morales.
It usually is him.
Always.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I don't care how I dress to come here. I actually, more comfortable, the better.
Yeah, I mean, moving to the button-down, full button-down
shirt. You have gone corporate, Greg.
I had to. I mean, I felt like this was a necessary thing to do. Yeah. I wore collared shirts, but never the button-down.
Yeah. Now, we should talk to your alter ego, though, at some point. Dodger Boy.
Dodger Boy.
We can talk to your alter ego, Dodger Boy, in a second, because Dodger Boy was fired up talking to me this morning on the drive-in. So we'll take your calls on the Sam Amick interview real quick. Thanks to Sam for joining us there. Thanks to Clint Yates, who joined us earlier as well. If you missed any part of the show, you could always subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast on iTunes. It's not iTunes anymore. It's called Apple Podcasts, the ESPN app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. That's where we'll be. We're there. So I thought the thing that stuck out the most was, well, twofold. He does believe the Lakers can beat the Clippers. He also does believe the Clippers' locker room dynamic, which they reported on, is not completely hashed out just yet. Now, we've heard less and less about that. I know from my own conversations with people that that has simmered. But Sam is way more connected than that stuff than I am. So we could both be right. It could be simmering. It no longer is at a boil. And it could still be a potential thing that lingers, right? It could be both. So I think those things stick out. He did say the Giannis thing was troubling if you're Milwaukee. And if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, Giannis did an interview for JBL, which is the audio company, on something called the Sports Pulse. And this young lady asked him about teaming up with his brothers. And this is what happened.
You got one brother with you in Milwaukee, another in LA. Have you ever thought about what it'd be like having everyone together?
I think that would be amazing. Obviously, we spend more time together, and I'm 100% sure my mom would love that. But if we could like team up in a team in Milwaukee, LA, whatever, that'd be awesome.
We have a live and local look-in in Milwaukee at their front office right now. We are also now going live and local to the streets of Milwaukee at the moment after hearing those comments. Yeah, I mean, listen. Sam said it best. Like, you thought I was being hyperbolic, right? Like, that's fine. You can think I'm just a gas bag on the radio. No, you know, I know some stuff in the NBA. But Sam is way more plugged in than I am. And he's like, ooh, that's not good that he mentioned LA.
I'm really happy that he mentioned LA.
Of course
you're
happy.
Everything all of a sudden, you're starting to think like, oh, wait, this is a possibility again. I mean, I know Laker fans get that stigma of being like, oh, everybody's a future Laker. But this kind of makes you think like maybe
he said it.
Hashtag future Laker.
Hashtag he said it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, but that's got to make you get, you know, juiced up. I mean, granted, the eye is the prize. The eye has got to be on the prize for this particular season. I understand that. I'm not trying to take the eye off the prize per se. But, I mean, it's possible. Look, Giannis' sweepstakes will be the equivalent to what LeBron's was in 2010. Where it's just going to be like 7 or 8 teams that are really in it. And I think like, you know, 4 or 5 pretenders. But it's going to be like high stakes poker when it comes to Giannis.
You really think so? I think it could very well be like Anthony Davis's style. Where he's going to next year, going into the 2022 or 2021 offseason, he's going to say, this is where I want to go.
Absolutely not.
You know, or even in this offseason.
Zero chance that he does what Anthony Davis did. Anthony Davis took such a big hit. Giannis does not want to do that. There's no way.
You think it's going to be like The Decision all over again?
I think it's going to be like, he's not going to do the TV show.
No, no. But no, I think nobody's ever going to do the TV show again.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be, he's going to meet with a lot of teams. If it gets to that point. Because look, if he wins a championship, I think all this is moot.
See, to me, like, Giannis just seems like somebody, I don't know him. You've met him. You've talked to him way more times, obviously. But it just seems like he's somebody who's being like, look, this is what I want. This is where I'm going to go. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do.
Oh, I don't think he knows. I think his preference is to stay in Milwaukee because he wants to be. He's already made those comments about being a one team guy, but we've heard the stuff, right? Like he did that interview with the Harvard people that he didn't think was going to get out, and that got out about needing to win a championship. We had, as I mentioned before that, even our Malik Andrews reported that day that they lost to the Raptors that sources close to Giannis say that he needs to win a championship. He got so mad that he walked out when she asked him a question during that press conference, if you remember. Which, look, he shouldn't be mad at her. He should be mad at his own people for saying stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like Clinton said it earlier, though, it's still Milwaukee at the end of the day. No matter what, you still have to go back to Milwaukee all the time. And this, and like this kind of seems
you're
like
just talking
year.
Yourself into this now.
Well, I mean,
but why would anyone do the Anthony Davis thing and want to take that kind of hit?
Well, I mean, because it obviously didn't matter to Anthony Davis. He's where he wants to be and he's happy. So, I mean, as far as we know, he refuses to say where he's going to go, but that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, but we also talked about how Anthony Davis thing was a complete cluster bleep.
Yeah, all of it was like according
right,
to
do
the
you think
media.
According to the media, Greg, in February, Magic Johnson had to fly across the country to tell people to stop babying his players. Like that was kind of a cluster bleep. Let's not forget what that was like.
Sure, things did go a little bit wrong.
So I don't think Giannis is going to go that route, is what I'm saying. I think Giannis is going to just play this thing out as long as he can and then make a decision.
I think he might do it a little bit smoother than Anthony Davis did, where he's not going to wear the T-shirt that says, "That's all, folks," on
right.
it. But it's still going to be a little bit different. I mean,
yeah, look, but I don't think we have any
inclination. This is his window, right? Right now is his window in Milwaukee. Every other team has at least two stars, and the Warriors are getting a third star back next year.
Let's do this. Let's play this game for a second. Now we're going to switch to your third alter ego, Laker boy.
Just because I'm a fan.
So let's do this. Let's say you're right, and he comes out next season. He's under contract for one more season in Milwaukee.
AD was too.
I get it. But Giannis is the MVP. Like, that's a bigger level of pressure, okay? So you think that Giannis is going to want to play an entire season? Because if I'm Milwaukee, maybe I do try to deal him if that becomes the case. But that may not come together right away, much like it didn't come together right away with AD. So you think he's going to play for that team? He's going to do that, come out and say that, and then play for the team for whatever amount of months? Like, I don't see that happening.
I could very well see him going to management. Let's say they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. And he goes, look, league just got tougher. I don't want to be here. I'm going to leave in the 2021 offseason.
But there's not one iota of evidence that says that he's that guy.
Look, you say we're playing things out. I'm playing things out.
Yeah, but some of it has to be somewhat based in facts.
Well, you've been talking about this whole show about how he could, if they don't win a title.
In 2021.
Right. We're in 2020. It's next year.
Right, but there's two more seasons that need to finish.
Right, but that's why you go ahead, he goes to them this offseason, and he says, I want to leave, get something for me, trade me, and get me a bunch of stuff for you. Just like Anthony Davis got a ton of picks.
I think that if anything, the Anthony Davis thing was a cautionary tale of that's not the way to handle it.
It happened with Paul George. He was still under contract, and they gave him a ton of picks to go over there, too. But guys are leaving. They want to go where they want to go right now. If Giannis does not want to be in
Milwaukee.
Right, but
Paul George did not end up where he wanted to go, at least initially. So there's that part of the equation, too.
Well, according to him, it was always where he wanted to be, but he's a giant liar. But
no, Oklahoma City first.
Well, no, then he stayed there. Then he wanted to be. They said that he wanted to trade to the Lakers, but then he said he wanted to be with the Clippers.
I don't know what you're saying anymore.
What do you don't remember any of this stuff?
No, I do. You don't seem to remember. He didn't want to go to Oklahoma City. He said that later because he was already stuck there.
Well, because they just traded him. Indiana traded him just to get him over.
All right, we're way over the break. We could continue this discussion on the other side, Laker boy. And we got to get talked to Dodger boy too while we're at it. We got a lot of boys to talk to. All your alter egos. All right, we'll do that on the other side. We'll talk to you in just a moment. Stick around, back in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Another 30 minutes or so left in the show. Don't forget Mason in Ireland at 3 o'clock. It all gets started with is Sliwa on today? Yes, right? Sliwa show today?
Yeah.
I mean, corporate Greg should know this.
I do. It's just in the other room.
I mean,
yes,
I know you're in Laker boy, Dodger boy mode right now.
You got me changing my head space all over.
I'm just saying. Like, you are corporate Greg.
Yes, he does have a show tonight.
So, Sliwa's show today after Mason in Ireland, and then ESPN Radio, the network through the overnight, starts with Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis in the morning, and then we'll be back here at 10 a.m. That's how we do it each and every day here on the station. Today is National Wine Drinking Day. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
Look, everybody in here started clapping. They're so excited about it.
A little vino today.
I'm not a wine guy.
What?
Like, I just, remember, we did this. Remember on Mason in Ireland, we did the whole taste testing thing?
Oh, that's right. You were terrible at it.
Oh, yeah. I thought Two Buck Chuck was.
You thought Two Buck Chuck was Camus.
Right. I couldn't tell the difference.
How terrible.
I've started to drink a little bit more wine, but I can't tell the difference between the flavors.
Yeah. So it is National Drink Wine Day. So partake if you'd like, or not if you're you. So anyway, the Giannis thing. If you don't know what the hell we're talking about, it's kind of now circling around the internet. So Giannis did an interview with something called the Sports Pulse, and a young lady who works for the Sports Pulse was at the All-Star game, and Giannis was doing, I guess, an event for a corporate sponsor, JBL, the audio team, like the audio group, and she asked about teaming up with his brothers. And he gave L.A. an opening.
You got one brother with you in Milwaukee, another in L.A. Have you ever thought about what it'd be like having everyone together?
I think that would be amazing. Obviously, we spend more time together, and I'm 100% sure my mom would love that. But if we could like team up in a team in Milwaukee, L.A., whatever, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. 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 So Laker boy wants him to do an Anthony Davis, because that wasn't messy by any stretch of the imagination last season, and wants him to just like tell Milwaukee, all right, Milwaukee, we didn't win this year. I'm out, even though I'm under contract for another year.
First of all, this whole Laker boy thing is not going to fly.
I do like your alter egos.
You're my alter ego. Look, yes, I am a Laker fan. I am a Dodger fan.
I think you should lean into it.
All right, why not?
It allows you to be someone that's not corporate Greg for a second.
All right, well, if you want me to be Laker boy, then yes, this means that he's going to be a Laker in 2 years. Oh, my God.
I mean, 2 years, I'm with you. That is very possible. You want him to just be, like, one thing is to leave as a free agent. Like, yeah, people will hate that. These small markets hate that stuff. But to ask out, like, ask Kawhi what that was like in San Antonio to deal with. Ask AD, like, that wasn't fun for them. Like, they may be cool now, but that time they had to deal with was not fun.
Look, people get killed all the time. Teams themselves get killed all the time.
Because it's not you. You're the one okay with them being killed and having to deal with it. As long as you reap the benefits selfish fan.
If you want to go back to that, when Dwight Howard left in 2012, I was like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, who leaves the Lakers?
But he's back now.
But yes, and he's playing very well. But the fact of the matter is, people get killed for not trading their superstars when they know they're going to leave and getting nothing for them.
I agree with that.
Giannis, if you can get something for Giannis, you should do it if you know that he's going to leave. So really, he should be just forthcoming and say, hey, I want out.
Well, but maybe he doesn't want out is the point.
Well, then if he doesn't want out, then he doesn't want out. But it's going to get tough next year.
So here's where I'll meet you halfway. If I'm John Horst, the GM of the Bucks, and I'm Mark Lazary, the owner, I'm having a conversation with Giannis this offseason, because they can offer him an extension, the Supermax extension that no one else can offer him this season. Like, they can offer that to him this offseason, because he's not a free agent until the following offseason. And I sit down and be like, Giannis, are you in or are you out? And if he says he's out, then if I'm Milwaukee, maybe I'm proactive. Not maybe, I would. Like, if I owned the Bucks and he said no to the Supermax, I would tell my GM, you have the ability, I give you the authority to seek out a trade if you can get the best trade possible.
That's all I'm saying.
But that's not him asking out. Him asking out is bad business for his brand.
Okay, I can see where you're going with that, but at the same time, it's the same thing.
No, it's not. It's bad business for his brand.
Do you want to be here? And he says no. That's him saying, trade me.
Him saying no. You ask him, and him saying, I'm not going to sign the Supermax. I want to see what we do next year. Like, if that's the answer, which is maybe the likely answer if they don't win, that's not a no, but it's not a yes.
Right, but I mean, what are you going to do? If you're Milwaukee, let's put you in the Milwaukee,
I just told you what I would do if I were Milwaukee.
So you would trade him.
To Giannis, here's the Supermax. We can offer you the most money. We're knocking at the door. Right? Let's say they lose, right? They don't win the finals. Let's say they lose in the – I don't know. Let's just say they get to the finals and lose, right? Let's do like a best worst case scenario there. Giannis, we're so close. We're in the finals. We're the best team in the East. It's not even close. I know these other teams are trying to compete with us, but we got you here. We're knocking at the door. Sign the Supermax. And if he says, you know what? I want to win a championship first before I commit long term. That's not a no, but that's not a yes. If it were me, I would say, John Horst, the GM, see what you can find. If you can get as close to equal value, which you're not going to get, but if you can get some kind of value back, like real value, where we don't just implode like Cleveland with LeBron, then I consider that. That's me. That's not them, though. But that's also not him asking out, because asking out is bad for your brand.
Okay. We can meet in the middle there and say he won't have to ask out. But at the same time, you have two options there. You can either try and trade for somebody to come to Milwaukee, and, I mean, who's coming to Milwaukee and wanting to stay? Nobody.
Nobody.
Right.
Well, I mean, they can trade for guys, but staying is right.
So, and then you, even if you do decide, okay, you go to Horst, is that what you said his last name?
Yeah, Horst.
Yeah, Horst decides to trade him, and he finds some decent value for him. It has to be to a team that he's going to want to stay
at. Well, but by the way, right.
Because otherwise you're giving away assets for him to leave right at the end of the year, just like Anthony Davis possibly could.
Some team will do the Paul George thing, going back to your point with Paul George. Some team will say, we'll do the Sam Presti thing and roll the dice and say, I'll take my chances and see if I can convince him to stay.
Yeah, and then look what happened a year
later. Well, right, but he got him to sign the contract. He had him for two seasons.
Right.
He did have him for two seasons. So it wasn't a complete and total loss on Sam Presti's part. It wasn't a terrible gamble.
No, but most teams are not going to be able to do that and have the assets to do that.
But the Lakers don't have the assets to do that.
No, you can't make that trade. The Lakers cannot trade.
They have to wait for him to be out.
Correct.
In free agency.
They absolutely have to.
See,
have
Laker
nothing.
Boy? That's why I'm saying another reason why him asking out is stupid.
Okay, the asking out part is maybe a little bit going too far, but the fact of the matter is he should tell them in the offseason what he is going to do.
Well, I don't think he can, but I think your most likely scenario if they lose is what I told you, is that he's like,
look,
I got to see what next year looks like.
You're not the best team next year in the East, possibly, anyway. You probably, with the Kevin Durant going over back to the Knicks.
Well, we don't know what he's going to look like off an Achilles. Let's slow down.
Sure, but yeah, but then you also have all of the Warriors coming back. You still have hopefully still have a two-team.
Right, but they just need to worry about getting through the East.
Right.
And then they'll figure it out.
Right, I don't know. You know, Boston has all those assets that they've been carrying.
Nah, they don't really have them anymore. Assets anymore,
and they did nothing with them. It's insane.
I mean, they got two really awesome players. I mean, there's that.
Yeah, but then haven't made a finals.
Yeah, I mean, well, we'll see.
Yeah,
not yet. All right, we'll talk to Dodger Boy maybe on the other side. So, Corporate Greg, I'm going to take care of Corporate Greg here because we got to talk about, before we come back in 3 minutes, to talk about the Dodgers and should Rob Manfred resign. And, you know, Dodger Boy wants that. I mean, he's very much in on that. So, you know, spoiler alert. Sedona with you here on 710 ESPN. Don't forget Mason and Ireland coming up at 3 o'clock. Oh, man. I thought it was pretty awesome, by the way. Something I didn't notice from, I didn't talk about from All-Star Weekend. Was Allen Iverson sporting the Laker gear and the Kobe jersey, the 8 jersey, over the weekend. We didn't really mention that, but that was pretty awesome. I mean, just all the Kobe tributes were pretty great. Like, they were all well done, for sure.
And he had the hat, too. He had the Laker hat on,
too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm seeing a video right now.
Did you see the whole thing with 157, 155 equals 24?
I did not.
Yeah, that was the final score, 157 to 155, and if you added every number up together, it comes out to 24.
Oh, wow. I did not know that, but that is pretty cool, too. Yeah, for sure. I also thought it was interesting that Michael Jordan's birthday fell on the day after the All-Star game, as he kind of was, you know, shaped one generation, and then you had Kobe being honored, and they named the MVP trophy, and he shaped the next generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that was all very cool. I mean, being in Chicago, all of that just was... I hate All-Star games. I'm not a big fan of All-Star games whatsoever, but...
What are you a big fan of, Greg?
I'm a big fan of a lot of things. I'm a big fan of the NBA. I'm a big fan... I'm watching The Wire right now. I'm a big fan of that.
Oh, I mean... 15 years later, hey, I mean, listen, jump on board.
This is a rewatch.
Oh.
I've seen it before.
Oh, okay. I mean, listen, I wasn't hating on you. Like, it's good television. You should watch it.
Right, no. So I decided to turn on the Twitter cast during the fourth quarter, like right when the fourth quarter started, and it was fantastic. I loved everything about it. I liked the Twitter cast. I liked that Shaq refused to leave when everybody, the powers that be, were asking him to go, and he's like, nah, I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm staying here. It was really good.
Good.
See, I liked it.
I'm glad. You hate Rob Manfred, though.
Oh, well, I mean, I think I'm not alone in that
Woo!
One.
Boy. So Pedro Gomez was on with the morning show, and they were asked about Rob Manfred. Now, Woody Page went on Around the Horn yesterday and said he should resign. I guess the guys asked him about the job stability of Commissioner Rob Manfred. Here's what Pedro said.
The reality is that the commissioner's boss are the 30 owners. Those are his bosses. And if he takes away a World Series title from one of those 30 owners, you could absolutely see a scenario where those owners get together and say, what the heck? This guy works for us. He's doing this to us. If he could do this to one, he could do it to any of them, any of us. And
so we all should cheat then.
And we need to get him out of here because they can fire him. The owners can fire the commissioner.
So my position is there's a reason you haven't heard owners. And we'll corporate Greg will go from corporate Greg to Dodger boy here in a second. But there's a reason you haven't heard from owners because I contend that this is not a rogue team doing this. Carlos Beltran, in that Athletic story that Ken Rosenthal had, specifically told the Astros, you guys are way behind the times. You know, and Beltran played for a couple teams. So I think this is more widespread than you think, which is why you don't hear from owners, which is why I don't think they are going to fire Manfred, at least.
No, I don't think they're going to fire him for all those exact same reasons. I get it. But at the same time, I normally don't agree with Woody Page, but I'm going to.
Hey, you leave Woody Page alone.
I like Woody Page, but I normally don't, you know, usually think differently.
Okay.
But he should resign. I mean, he
okay,
looks
resign
absolutely
why?
Cuz he looks just terrible. You have the game of baseball has just become a joke to a lot of people at this point. I don't know how easily it is going to be to come back from it. Every story that comes out about baseball or Rob Manfred gets worse and worse and worse. I'm a huge Dodger fan. I'm a huge baseball fan.
Yes.
I love it. I'm going to be there no matter what. That doesn't mean that everybody else is coming back no matter what.
Justin Turner obviously was furious yesterday, and he made these comments about the commissioner.
For him to devalue it the way he did yesterday is just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. And, you know, at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it.
So he actually went further and said that maybe he's never played anything or won anything before. Look, I get the outrage. I do. I get it. Like, I don't disregard that. But I thought we discussed this a little yesterday, Bergman, and you weren't around, that I'm not saying that these guys don't genuinely feel this way, whether it's Turner or Bellinger or Nick Markakis or any of these guys that are talking, Mike Trout, right? But how would they have reacted if they were on the team? Brian McCann, who is like Captain America, yes, sir. You know, I play by the rules and I play the right way. And he was on that team and he didn't say anything. You know what I mean? Like, that's the prism that I don't think enough people are looking at that through. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to be the guy? Because even Michael said yesterday, yeah, that'd be a tough spot to be the guy to blow the whistle, right? Like, Mike Fiers did it, but he was gone already. So, and that's really kind of what began this whole rabbit hole that we're in now. But I do think that you kind of I get the emotions of it and I get all of that. But it would be tough for anybody in those guys' positions, including the manager who bashed the mechanism twice, literally, figuratively, took a bat to it and try to blow the whistle on that. Like, that's a tough spot to be in, too.
Well, Justin Verlander in 2016, who was on that team, he was on that World Series championship team 2017.
Right. Yes, I remember him over Yu Darvish.
Yeah, him. But so Justin Verlander in 2016 said that if anybody was found for steroids, they were cheating the game and they should be banned from baseball for life.
Right.
And now this is the commissioner's report comes out and said they were cheating. Everyone's apologizing, saying they were cheating. He's not saying anything negative about any of these guys right now.
Right.
So because he's on the team.
But that's the perfect example of what I'm talking about. That's the illustration right there.
Right.
And that's why I always say, don't be Rafael Palmeiro wagging his finger at Congress. Because you become Justin Verlander. He's like the next iteration of that now.
Right. And now people are always going to look at Justin Verlander just a little bit differently. And look, I totally agree with Justin Turner when it comes to all this. And the fact of the matter is Mike Trout talked.
Mike Trout never says anything.
He says nothing.
Nothing.
And he talked.
Yeah. 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 He said something.
No, yeah, I thought you had it.
Oh, but, no, we have it. He says, here it is.
I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player's not getting anything. You know, it was a
player driven. It sucks because, like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. It'll be me going up to the plate knowing what's coming. It'll be pretty fun up there. it's just, like I said, a lot of guys lost respect for some of the guys. And, you know, it seems like every day something new comes out.
I'm sure that audio sounded great on your crackling AM radio.
It just feels like you're that disappointed dad. Like, he never talks. And he goes, you know, I lost a lot of respect for those guys.
Yeah, well, golly gee.
G. Willikers, son. Yeah. I can't believe you cheated the game like that.
Yeah.
But so the fact that Mike Trout is coming out and saying something and actually being upset about it and losing respect just goes so far into what actually is happening.
So Jeff Passan was on, I think it was SportsCenter yesterday, and he dropped something that I thought was interesting because I don't know if this will solve anything. But here's what he said about the Astros and what they should do.
I think what the public wants the Astros to do is just say, yeah, we did it, we're sorry, and we're going to do everything we can going forward. And you can't have a defense of yourself or your team when you've cheated. You can't have moral authority and try and stand on that leg. And, you know, as crazy as this has gone, as much as this has spun out of control, clubhouse opens here in 40 minutes. I have no idea whatever's going to happen.
That sounds cool. I don't think anyone cares. I think we're way too far gone for that.
Way too far gone. But he's right, though. You can't have moral authority when you've just cheated like that. And you're trying to say, oh, it's us against the world. And we're, you know, like, we're going to.
No, they have handled it poorly. We have agreed on that awful from day one. They have handled it poorly. Their PR staff has handled it poorly. The players have handled it poorly. Like, that has been a disaster. Reggie, real quick in Vegas. Reggie, I got 30 seconds. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, George, just a quick question on the Lakers. Is it possible that they're comfortable with the guys they have? I mean, Houston, they're signing guys that I think we could use, wing players or centers for them. Marvin Williams went. I believe Evan Turner's getting
To answer your question, Reggie, yes. I think that they must feel, this is my opinion, I don't know this, so I'm not reporting it, so don't aggregate me, aggregators. I believe they must think that their guys are as good or comparable to what's ever available on the market, that there's probably not a need to add those particular dudes. Thanks to Clinton Yates. Thanks to Sam Amick. Thanks to you guys for listening. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Bergman. Thanks to Dodger Boy and Laker Boy. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya.